Here we go. We're recording. I just want to let you know, if it starts lactating, you got to pay me money. Welcome to Binge Watchers. I don't know what week this is. We're somewhere in the middle of Summer Slash. And if we don't blow our brains out, we'll be talking about horror movies right after the theme song plays. Somebody sent me a private message already. Yo, Bear. Oh, yeah. You know what's weird? I'm transitioning out of my cub phase, and I think I'll be a full-blown bear pretty soon. Because I'm slipping into middle age. I mean, I'm a young guy, but we're approaching middle age, right? So... I think we leave our cubs. Dave, at what age do you leave the cub stage?
I don't know.
Don't pretend like you don't know the answer. He knows. Dave knows.
Is it 40 or is it when you have kids? I have no idea.
I think he's talking about a different kind of bear than you're thinking.
I'm lost.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
Now, see, if you haven't paid for our premium video subscriptions and your the extra memberships, then you had no idea that you would be watching a video cast with semi-nude co-hosts. And hey, I didn't prompt them in any way, shape, or form. It's not a Me Too incident. They did it freely of their own accord. I just want to point that out.
I'm in a hot garage right now, and I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, sweating to the oldies, like Pauly Shore style, sweating to the wheeze.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen those videos? Pauly Shore is trying to like get people to make sure that they watch his podcast, so he's doing like exercise videos. He's doing everything.
All right.
He lost his producer. I used to watch it. You know what's funny? We got flagged on YouTube for drinking, though they couldn't. But who knows what's in our cups? So it'd be funny if we get flagged this time. If I were to post, I don't think I'm going to post this one. But if I were to post this one, if we get flagged for partial nudity, that would be really funny. Those Google censors are hardcore.
Oh my gosh! Wow,
water,
ridiculous.
Water. I know it's like you can't identify. What's in the Tupperware plastic cup? Nobody actually said, "Hey, we're slamming it hard." You know what I mean?
I got my 7-Up and I'm going crazy. You don't even know what's in my cup, guys.
You can slam water hard.
Oh man,
yeah.
But it's not the slamming water podcast. It's Binge Watchers podcast. We should be talking about movies. Let's see what's going on with horror movies. I made some notes. Let's see what's going on. Oh, a massive deal just happened. $400 million to buy the rights to The Exorcist because Universal and Peacock streaming want to make a trilogy of movies. They're bringing back, of all people, Chris McNeil, which was the mom, played by Ellen Burstyn from the first movie. I don't know where Linda Blair is. She might not act anymore. I don't know because Regan's not coming back as far as I know, but they're going to incorporate the original story, but the new film's about a dad, his son is possessed, and he goes and gets advice from the mom from the original, I guess. That's all I know so far.
So she probably has like a small cameo, and she's going to make like $1 million or something.
Right.
I can imagine the scene. He's going to go to her house. She's going to make him tea or lemonade. He's going to say, she's going to say like, yeah, this sucks. My daughter was possessed by the devil. A priest jumped out of a window.
The Fly 2 did the same scene with that guy from the first movie where the guy.
The guy who was injured. Yeah.
I picture her part being that exact same thing, right?
Let's back it up for the uninitiated. In the first Fly, there's another suitor for Gina Davis's character who's dating Brundle Fly. Brundlefly's like, you ain't touching my woman. Let me spit some fly regurgitated vomit that I break down my fly food with. Let me hit you with it. It melts the dude's leg and his arm.
Yeah.
And then you're right. He pops up in part two like, your dad was a piece of shit. He melted my hand.
I just picture her being that part, if that makes sense. I mean, I'm just like, makes sense. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that's what it is. I mean, well, how old is she? I mean...
She's in her 70s, possibly creeping up to the 80s.
Wow. I always thought she was really old because
at which point do you say no longer has sex appeal and I'm not going there? Well, how old is too old for Dave?
Dave Gilbert.
I don't know. Depends on the woman. I mean, ooh. Helen Mirren's in her 70s. Sure, why not?
Truth.
I guess it just depends on the person.
Sure, yeah. This will get your nipples hard, David. Dee Snider, who played Captain Howdy in the original Strangeland, which was like the grandfather of all torture horror porn movies. Torture porn, right? The horror movies where they torture. Right. He made Strangeland. You guys remember this movie?
I do.
Where
I actually do.
So it was like if he watched Hellraiser and then wanted to act it out, like the guy that Nick was telling us watched The Human Centipede, and then part two is about him making The Human Centipede because he watched that. So this is like this guy, Dee Snider's character, like watched Hellraiser and is like, oh, I wonder if I could really string people up like that. Let me see if I can do that. Meat hooks and all that. So Strangeland is like an iconic horror movie. Was that late 90s? When they first were inventing chat rooms, right?
It was like 99 or 2000, somewhere around there.
Yeah, so his character would get on like AOL chat, right? And like stalk the people and then meet them somewhere and then he'd pin them up and sew them together and crazy shit, right? So he says he still has a sequel and then like... I don't know how his character's still alive, but it's called Disciple, which means it probably means they're worshiping the serial killer, right? They're worshiping the dude. Mm. Like he has like a Charles Manson type following or something. But and the only other thing, I don't know the network that's bringing this. It might be one of the streamers. Did you guys hear that I Know What You Did Last Summer is going to be I Know What You Did Last Series? Did you guys know this?
Yeah, I think it's Amazon Prime.
Last series?
No.
Yeah. I Know What You Did Last Summer is going to be a series, and I'm calling it Last Series. Play on words. That's me. One of the titles. It's coming out in October, so that'll be this year. That was a surprise. I didn't even know that was in production.
If it's an anthology series, like each season is a different story, I could see it working. But like, I can't see them stretching out 4 or 5 seasons of one cast, one storyline.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, each season is like the movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying is if they do,
they did it with
Sequoise to Death.
They did it with Dusk Till Dawn. They kind of spread it out.
What is that click? Are you opening a box of Chiclets?
Not me.
That was so loud. it sounded like someone popping open Tic Tacs. We can't smell your breath through the microphone.
Give me those Chiclets.
That was really fucking loud. Let's move on. All right. I know what I can do. I can tell you about our lovely sponsor. It's actually a film contest for filmmakers, which they need to get on it because it's happening soon. Even though it's all evergreen and we don't want to date ourselves, but I'll tell you about this thing real quick. It's the Collaboration Filmmakers Challenge. And I want to let you know, here at Binge Watchers Podcast, we watch a lot of movies. We spend a lot of time talking about movies. Do you ever think about making one? Well, we do. We think about it all the time. We'd love to make one. And here's a chance for you to get off your butt and make a film. The Collaboration Filmmakers Challenge is a 2-week film challenge. You make a short film from start to finish in 2 weeks. And check it out. 3 winning filmmakers will get a development deal with Hollywood production companies such as Shout Factory, who produced Mystery Science Theater 3000. I assume they mean the new one. I'm not sure. Maybe they did the old one too. Who knows? I know they have the rights to it, I think. And the other two, Eddie Shanker or Shankar, whatever. He's the guy that did the Castlevania. He also did the Judge Dredd sequel, and he made that crazy movie with the wolves stalking Liam Neeson. It's called The Gray. It's pretty wild. Where are you going to get a chance to get paid to develop a project like this? I don't know. With recognizable production companies and take it to market, aside from the deal, filmmakers can win thousands of dollars in cash prizes and equipment as well. What makes the CFC different from other festivals is the challenge was invented to reward creativity, not just get access to the money or gear. All the filmmakers need to do with another is participate, which is pretty great. If you're an editor, a camera operator, an actor, or you're just looking to work on movies, you can sign up. If you're a filmmaker but need talent and crew, again, it's a networking opportunity. You can meet and network and hook up with a team to make a great film. You can check out more on their website, collaborationchallenge.com, or you can click on the link in our podcast notes. You can go to collaborationchallenge.com/bingewatchers.html. And for all the other binge watchers out there that are listening, you can use the promo code binge_watchers for a discount on your entry. So come on, let's get that movie made. Now back to our feature presentation. Already in progress, let's get back to the podcast. We'll get the guys back on the line. 1 fraccionado, 1 minuto. I don't know. I don't know what seconds are in Spanish. I don't know. Maybe somebody else knows. We'll find out. Bang. Bang.
I don't know.
Bang. All right. So tonight's movie. Yeah, we are back. Tonight's movie is The Final Girls. Came out 2015. Max's mom was in a famous 1980s slasher movie, kind of like a Friday the 13th type. The mom dies. It coincides with a screening, an anniversary screening of the movie. The daughter doesn't want to attend, but then she's like, oh, it's a way to honor my mom. She goes. She decides to attend. Then by magic, her and her friends accidentally get sucked into the actual movie itself, and then the movie and the killings start to play out, and they have to live through the plot to try to survive. That's generally the gist of the whole thing. And Dave's got some facts. Dave brought the fact sheet tonight. Let's see what else he knows about this movie. Before we get into our ratings, before we rate it, rock it out with Scream Now, Scream Later, Scream Never, our deadly horror movie ratings for Summer Slash. Let's see what Dave dug up from the grave about this movie. What do you got, Dave?
So when the characters are sucked into the movie Bloodbath, it was scripted that they stepped into a Technicolor world. And the writers were apparently horrified when they showed up to the location and discovered the crew had actually taken their words literally and decorated the whole forest with like crazy colorful artificial flowers. So that's why it looks extra bright. I didn't realize this while watching this, but two of the main characters are named Nancy and Tina, which is a nod to Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th.
I think Tina was part 7. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's I guess I forgot to get the rest of the fact on that one. My bad.
I think Tina's part 7 on Friday the 13th. I think. Yeah.
actually, no, they were both in Nightmare on Elm Street because there was a Tina and a Nancy in that.
Okay. Yeah. Tina's friend who got slashed up in the middle of the night trying to figure out what's happening to her. And she's like the first major death. She's like the best friend who dies.
That's right. Yes. So if you guys watched this and thought that it was a bit tame for a slasher movie, you're right. It was written as an R rating in mind, but the director ended up losing the battle and became a PG-13 movie, but he ended up being happy with the result. So even the creator was happy. We talked about The Exorcist earlier. I'll leave you with this. So the film's co-writer, Joshua John Miller, wrote this script as a way of dealing with the death of his own father, Jason Miller, who played Father Karras in The Exorcist.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Major connection tonight all around.
Can I bring one fact up? Tina was in Friday the 13th Part 7, so you would have been right either way. Just saying.
Oh, sweet.
Am I wrong on this or right? Okay, I was right. Okay, yeah.
We should probably bring up the cast before we get into our favorite kills and our ratings. Tessa Farm, I'm probably butchering her name, but she's the daughter of the girl in The Conjuring. But
they're actually sisters.
What? I thought she was her daughter.
No, you would think that. No, they're sisters. They're just born very far apart.
I think they're, how do you pronounce her last name? Farmiga or something? Farmiga. Okay, so Tessa Farmiga. She's in all the American Horror Stories, but she's the main actor in this playing Max, playing the final girl. She ends up being the final girl because spoiler alert, here it is. they accidentally eliminate the final girl in the movie, and then they have to make a new final girl, is the whole plot. But Malin Ackerman plays the mom. And then because they're in the movie that she's in, it's kind of like she's still there, which freaks her out at the beginning part of the movie. Then you have Nina Dobrov. If you're out there, I'm butchering your name, and I'm sorry. But she's the girl from Stranger Things, right?
Hmm. Yeah. I didn't recognize her.
Or is she in the Vampire Diaries? She's in some kind of CW. Anyway, I think she's in also Stranger. I don't know. I should have looked at that credit more hard. But anyway, she's a good actor. She plays a spoiled bitch who comes around and realizes that she's still friends with them after the nightmare that unfolds. I'm about to spoil another thing.
Johnny All right. Spoiler.
All right. Wow. Living up to the nickname, the moniker tonight, folks. Yeah. Let's see. Very nice. And Thomas Middleditch, who was the star of Silicon Valley, plays a binge watcher type. He plays the movie fan. who's running the festival night or whatever, the anniversary screening.
He's binge watcher friends. Type.
And and Adam Devine, who's the comedian who was in Workaholics, he plays a character in the movie within a movie. So he's in the slasher movie. He plays like the typical dumb jock, right, at the summer camp.
Yeah.
So he plays like the head counselor, and he's just like, "What's up, bro? Come on, bro. Let's crack a beer, bro." That kind of thing.
That guy was funny. Boy.
Yeah, he's funny. I mean, he's a comedian. I just think I said he was a comedian.
He actually has my favorite line in it, because on paper it's so innocuous. It's just, "Oh, we're here," but he delivers it so well. I don't know why. It kills me. "We're here."
Well, I think as his character note is like, just be excited about everything, right? Be happy and excited about everything, no matter what it is. Now we can go to favorite kills. Maybe I ruined one. I'm not sure if I did or not.
You did. What's that look?
Let's John go in the classic
John
order.
Gave the look of death.
Let's go to the shirtless Nikki Lates to see what he can tell us about his favorite kill in this movie.
I'm not going to lie. Since this was PG-13, the kills were kind of weak. So I'm going to say the guy just getting his head just whoosh, like that. You know, just
I don't even know what that means. Like, nobody can see that. So you might want to describe what you're talking about.
The killer goes like, grabs the head and just yanks it and just crushes his head, you know, or like, you know, just squashes him or like breaks his neck, you know. That's what I'm saying.
The spinal column.
Wrenches the spinal column. Yeah, the medical term. That's what Adam brought to the table. Yes.
The medical term.
The medical term, please.
Dr. Nick.
Yeah, Dr. Nick.
Okay. And you want to rate it, or do you want me to separate the kills from the ratings?
Oh, it's up to you guys. You want to rate it now?
No, you should separate it.
All right, we'll separate it. We'll do like mini. Okay, so we'll jump over to Dangerous and see what his favorite kill of the movie is.
Don't you take my kill, Dave.
I hope I don't.
He probably will.
See that my kill is a huge spoiler for the movie. So all I'm going to say is the final kill. Because I really don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. And it's the first and only, possibly the only emotional kill that I can think of where, no, I mean, I'm serious. I got emotional at this movie.
Did you cry?
Hey, that's my
Actually, I was there when he watched
no,
it.
No, no, like,
crying.
Okay, this is,
I had to, like,
I'll make this very brief because so Nikki can say it got real later, but like, I lost my mom 11 years ago, so yeah, this does kind of hit me in a certain spot, so that's all I'll say.
Now I can see, okay, now folks at home, time out.
Now I'm an asshole, I can't say it.
For the folks at home, you can't see Adam's face wanting to take back that laugh that he just curled it out a couple seconds ago.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I can bang on him, now I'm like, no. You win. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think so. Any mommy movie, Dave gets a little choked up and wants to have that beer in it.
That makes sense. I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know.
That's okay. No, it's I'm not gonna rub your nose in it or anything.
Instead of drinking for the lost homies, we drink for the lost mommies. That's what it is.
I guess so.
Crack open a cold one.
Here's for the mommies, yeah.
I guess that's Adam's turn now.
Yeah. Well, I definitely believe the mother-daughter relationship. So, I mean, I thought the scenes were way too real, and the acting was, you know, so good. It seemed out of place. But my favorite kill was the Adderall striptease girl. She just falls over in a bear trap.
We mentioned her earlier. Her name's Tina.
Oh, is that what the name? I don't memorize names, and with so many people that are just going to die so fast, you know. Like, but you know, good on you guys for memorizing the names. But
well, she does an amazing job as the character Tina in this movie.
Tina.
I should have wrote down her name. I didn't write down her name in the cast, but.
But she did a great job, and then she got killed so suddenly that it was, I mean, I was like laughing about it, and it gave me a great deal of enjoyment. Because you can't really expect what's going to happen in this film. I think that's a lot of the fun is it comes from the fact that they're breaking conventions at the same time paying homage to them. So, yeah, it was very clever, beautifully lit, beautifully shot. Lots of trick shots.
It did look good. Man. I agree.
Oh, it looks amazing.
Yeah,
I went back and rewatched stuff. I was like, whoa, what did they do there? That's such an amazing edit. So
it does look, yeah.
Which is so funny because I would have imagined when they're in the movie within the movie that it would have looked like grainy and like grindhousey, but they didn't go that route. Like,
yeah,
it did look like Wizard of Oz, or, you know, especially when they wake up.
There. You know, I thought about that, but like, because it's not playback and they're actually there, the idea is that the imaginary camera is shooting them, but they are actually in the movie. They're in the real world of the movie. So
it would actually look good. So it actually makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Very colorful movie. It's almost lit like a comedy, but it's shot like an action horror. So I don't know. It was a lot of fun, but yeah, that first death. Come on, guys. You don't like that death? Bear trap?
I do.
Okay. Oh, that's
What about you, John?
No, I like the deaths that send them off script. Like, they know how the movie's going to play out, and then a series of events happens, like how dominoes fall into place, and then it screws everything up for the third act of the movie within a movie, right? So after that, at that point, from then on, they don't know how to deal with the murderer because it's no longer unfolding like the movie that they watched a thousand times or however many times. Plus, I don't want to spoil anything else, but it's like... My other favorite
spoiler is coming.
Boom.
The movie fan is so obsessed that he wants to take a selfie with the killer, and they don't think anything's real. And then he tastes it, and he goes, "Oh, this does really taste like blood." And then he gets the machete thrown at him after he thinks it's not going to get thrown at him. And then you think he's dead, and then he pops up and gets hit by a car. Then they crash the car. The other guy flies out of the window of the car. That's the third act of the movie. Now you don't have to watch it. You can just listen to our show, and then you're done. Actually, no, I haven't told you how they finally do what they do with the killer and how the movie changes, right? Because so, whatever. Obviously, I like this movie. I told Adam yesterday, watching it with you guys for the podcast is like my 10th go around with this movie. So,
unreal. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think the guys watched it on a free trial from a channel that doesn't support us, so I won't say who has it, but I was willing to buy it for everybody or at least rent it for everyone because.
I got my free trial. You're all good. But I won't.
Obviously,
tell you
I like it. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's toned. Like, usually I take offense to like a horror movie that gets toned down and loses its proper rating. But this one seems engineered to be PG-13. It doesn't seem like they had to hack things away at the edit. You know, it seems like their decisions were made while they were making the movie. I don't, you know, and there's no horror stories about like the director fighting with the studio in post production or anything like that with a Tangerine Dream soundtrack or anything. it doesn't seem like they had a. It seems
like
everybody
Tangerine
agreed.
Dream. I love that. Come on.
And the writer should have just been quiet because I would have given them total credit for making it look very dreamy, to saying that it should be bright colors and vivid. You know, which you don't see in a lot of horror movies. But I want that. I was talking about this maybe a couple years ago. Like, I want whimsical horror movies. You know what I'm saying? And they got pretty close. So, and it's supposed to be an 80s movie. It feels right. I mean, it seemed right. Now we'll go to the ratings. Obviously, I'm a little biased, so we'll go right into the Scream Now, Scream Laters, or Scream Nevers. Now would be a good time to come back at me hard if anybody's holding a grudge from this movie marathon. Now would be the time to use that card. So
could
let's
you
rate
go
it
into
up.
That more, please?
Sure. Let's do a reverse order. Go ahead, Adam, Dave, then Nick. Let's rate this movie.
Sure.
Okay. Well, my least favorite genre is probably horror comedy. Like, I don't like these things mixing, but this was like horror comedy drama, beautifully shot, beautifully colored, has some really like way above average, like just stellar acting bits, the things that I believed in, even if I didn't believe in the next scene, or even if it was like consuming candy, but then like in the middle of candy they're like, hey, here's some meat, they just slipped it to you. So I would say it's a binge later, but only because I feel like the movie isn't consistent, but it's definitely worth watching more than once. So I don't know how to consolidate those two ideas other than a binge later, because I'm not like enthusiastic about it being like film wise, something that I consider even keel, and it, I don't know, lives up to its own expectations.
I think you should have just said it's a binge later, and all your details are great. But the fact that you said it's worth watching more than once makes me think that it should be bumped up to a scream now.
Yeah, it should be a scream now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still think it's a scream later just because I can't give it my full endorsement.
Mm.
Maybe some of that has to do with the fact that I just don't like the comedy horror genre, but.
Or it's because they killed the character that's most like Adam. Oh. The binge watcher type that killed you in the beginning.
Okay. You were trying to be get a jab at me.
Okay, yeah.
God forbid. You know, I have done that thing where I tried to jump over something and I just tripped over and then had to, and I walked off and I pretended like I could walk normally, but as soon as I was out of sight, I was rolling on the ground.
What the hell's going on here? Amazing.
Yeah.
Maybe I just have a morbid fascination with you over explaining something and then a machete flies at you from the woods.
Oh my gosh. Who's left? Who's next?
Dave's next.
It's Dave. Dave's next.
So this is I had a rare instance to get to watch this twice this week. I watched it yesterday and I had another chance to watch it today because I was a bit tired last night.
Double time? Wow.
So I was originally coming in going to say binge later, but after watching it a second time within 24 hours, I'm going to say binge now. Like, this movie holds up on multiple viewings. Scream now. But no, it holds up on multiple viewings. I think the logic is pretty tight after you watch it, a second time. It resonated more with me. Like, I got choked up, you know, and how many horror slasher movies can you say that? That gets emotional. No. If I have only two mini complaints to have, is I still fall on the side of, I wish it was R. I would get a little more blood out of it, but having it still works. The only other complaint, if I have one, and it's a minor one, but they should have had more scenes with Thomas Middleditch and what's his name? The Workaholics guy together. I can't think of his name right now, even though I just watched
it. I don't remember his name either.
Adam Devine is the actor. Yeah,
that's the only kind of bummer is they didn't have more scenes with Middleditch and Adam Devine together. Like, they were clearly the funniest parts of the movie.
Definitely.
Well, Middleditch couldn't have been that.
Wait,
big
did
then.
You guys did you guys watch all the outtakes during the credits?
I did. Yeah. They were no, funny. Yeah,
there's a lot of imp on the cutting
room floor. It was mainly that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of improv on the cutting room floor of that one, yeah. But it goes back to what Adam said. They clearly tried to tone down the comedy because maybe there was too much, and it was like overwhelming the horrific elements. So. Mm.
Well, you know what the funny thing is like, of all the genres this movie is, because I mean it's multi-genre, I think honestly I'd say horror is like on the bottom. Like, I'd say it's a comedy and a drama first, believe it or not. That just happens to be in the world of a horror movie.
I agree with that.
I would say it's a horror movie because only the horror genre allows you to tap into other genres respectfully. I don't think any other genres can tap into those other elements the way the horror genre to me is superior, like a pizza. You can put any toppings on a pizza and it's generally a pizza with a few exceptions. A horror movie, you can incorporate dramatic elements, comedic elements. It's still a horror movie, but it can blend those other genres more easily or more skillfully than the other genres, I think. That's only personal taste. Nobody probably believes that.
It'd be I agree.
I don't believe that.
It would be a university film class where you have to argue for like a 3-hour block.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with supported facts. But
I'm actually gonna say
make this their thesis movie or argument.
Name another film where a character gets to go back and interact with their own parent that they still love, that is dead in the real world, that they get to interact with, like jumping in a home movie from years ago.
Well, does Back Frequency, to the Future count? Because
was Frequency or Back to the Future? I'm trying
to know. I was going to say, like, Back to the Future. Can I get a sentence out? Let me try to get a sentence out. I would say Back to the Future, Adam, because his parents are dead inside until he goes back in time and corrects their life.
Yeah.
Good point. Good point.
Dead inside is not actually dealing with the loss element, so I have to disagree. See, I thought of Back to the Future, and then I was like, well, no, but they don't die.
Then Nick brought up a good example. It's a firefighter movie, but the dad is dead, and there's a
frequency,
killer
right?
on the
loose. Am yeah, I right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a killer on the loose, and the dad knows about the killer and is on the CB from the past to the future or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Was that Dennis Quaid?
Have you seen that movie? It's a good movie.
That one's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What's another one? There's got to be one out there on the tip of our tongue that we can't think of.
You know what it is? It's like I was put on the spot. Right, I'm sure like tonight I'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't say that movie. You know? But right now I'm not thinking.
Well, but if you want gun-wrenching family stuff, do you guys like that science fiction movie with Matthew McConaughey where he's the astronaut and he's separated from the daughter? Have you guys, what is that movie?
Interstellar? Yeah, I've only seen half of it. I've never watched the whole thing.
You're right. It sucks.
I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
I couldn't tell you. Yeah.
So let's get back on track here. So our fan service this week. Okay, for the fans, if you want to win a digital copy of Quiet Place 2, you got to send Adam a private message on WhatsApp. No, I don't.
Yeah. Hey, baby.
No,
please don't do that.
Adam wants a video. Adam wants a video about what's your favorite horror movie and are you enjoying binge watchers this summer? He wants like a little video clip. I'm not that difficult. Okay. Like if you don't want to, if you're afraid to be like, if you are weird about being on video, like Nick can't be on video without taking his shirt off. So if you have issue like that and you don't want to make a video, then all you have to do is leave a comment on CastBox FM or, you know, go to iTunes and leave a nice rating, and then we can hook you up with a copy of Quiet Place 2. Otherwise, Dave's going to take all the copies.
I'll show you guys Quiet Place 2. There you go.
All the copies. Dave wow. doesn't just want – Dave is such a collector. He doesn't just want one digital code. He wants all
Yeah,
the
he's like,
code.
I want 20 codes. Yeah.
Yeah. What else is going on? Oh, Scary Recommends. Did anybody else watch some horror movie type stuff this week that we could also recommend?
I did.
Nick's ready. Go ahead, Nick.
I watched the 1980, I don't know what year, it was like 81, 82 or something, but The Deadly Spawn. We were talking about it a while ago, I think, and I rewatched it. Have you guys seen The Deadly Spawn? It has one of the most amazing alien space creatures ever. It's a low budget movie with these East Coast guys that made this movie over a year. Has anyone else seen this?
No,
I'm aware of it. This one's been on my radar.
Is that the one we found on YouTube? And I was like, does anybody know what this movie is?
Yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I know what this movie is. You were the one who made me want to watch it again. And it is still so good. It's so cheesy, so bad. But at the same point, it is made with heart and love over like a year, and you could see it. And I love it. I can't believe what these guys did in 1980, whatever it was. You know, it's a really good movie. Check out The Deadly Spawn.
That was a good year.
My watch list for a while.
1980, whatever it was. Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I've like put 1980 on something. I didn't know the year.
Davey.
83. Sorry.
Oh, that was a very good year.
It was a great year of movies, and I would really recommend this movie. So if you love cheesy special effects and just fun, low budget horror movies. Check it out.
And heart.
Yes. Bring the heart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I actually saw a few different horror movies this week, but since theaters are starting to open up, I'm going to mention the one I actually went out of the house to go see. I went and saw M. Night Shyamalan's Old. Ooh. I really liked it actually. Like
really?
The audience seems to be pretty split. So I won't talk too great a detail about a movie that, you know, not everybody's seen yet. But I really liked it. It's Shyamalan. It does have a twist. I'm sorry you kind of know that going in, but it kind of works for this. It makes total sense when you think back on it. I haven't had a chance to see it again, but it seems pretty airtight, all the pieces connecting. I don't know. It's very much like a Twilight Zone episode, and I didn't realize this until the end credits, but apparently it was based on a graphic novel, not even one of his original ideas. So
oh wow,
you can't totally blame him for all the concept, I guess. People trapped on an island getting older by the minute.
Interesting.
Like really old by the minute.
Someday his twist is going to be having no twist and advertising it as a twist.
Mm. Good point.
Throwing that idea. So I watched a really, really interesting mini series. It comes in three parts from the BBC. It's called Rillington Place. Now, everybody like Tim Roth, I'm assuming. Tim Roth is a fantastic actor.
But yeah.
Yeah, he plays this this muted role of this older gentleman, and he figures out how to start disappearing the neighbors. And this thing is so chilling that after watching it, I had my first nightmare since I was like a little kid. Like I actually had nightmare, and I woke up terrified. But yeah, Tim Roth and neighbors disappearing is all I really want to say about it. But I definitely
want. What's it called again?
Rillington Place.
Rillington Place. Okay.
Yeah, and it's on.
Where can you find it?
Yeah,
okay. It's on BBC Shudder.
Or Shudder. Okay. Hmm.
It's on Shudder. And
for like half your review, I was like, this can't be horror. You got Tim Roth, Ten Rillington Place.
That's what I was like wondering too. I'm like,
upstairs, downstairs, or Downton Abbey kind of.
I wanted to say, I was like, also, Adam, what are you doing? It is based on a true story. So,
this
extra level of chill that you know that the things that you're watching and in some respect actually happened. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Terrifying. Johnny Spoiler?
Johnny Spoiler.
I watched a movie on Netflix, and I'm starting to think that movies on Netflix are like a package of hot dogs. You know, you're like, you're in the mood for a hot dog, and you go, oh man, I could walk across the street and try to find that hot dog vendor. If he's around, I could pay like $6 for a hot dog. That's one hot dog. I can go to the store and get a pack of hot dogs. That's eight hot dogs. I might end up eating two hot dogs at that point and then have hot dogs for later. You get fucked on the buns, so let's leave the buns out. That'll be the cost of the internet in this equation. But on Netflix, that's the same thing. You want to watch one movie, but for the cost of one movie, you're getting like what? A whole hot dog package worth of movies. You got eight movies for the price of one.
But some of them hot dogs are rotten.
Well, after the third hot dog, you're tired of eating hot dogs for like the rest of the summer. But I watched this Netflix movie called Blood Red Sky. I pretty much watch everything with vampires. Like, there's a lot of people out there that watch everything with zombies, like, religiously. They're still watching The Walking Dead. The rest of us gave up, like, four seasons ago. They're still watching that fucking show. But they watch all the zombie movies that come out, whether they're good or bad.
I can't believe that show's still on.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. And they keep promising a movie. They haven't fucking made it yet. But Blood Red Sky is basically a mom is infected with vampirism on an airplane, and she's trying not to lose control of the virus. Because she's on her way. She's flying on a plane with her son, who's like 8 or 9, to go see a doctor who supposedly has like a cure, or like a treatment or something, right? Mm-hmm. And then terrorists take over the plane, like Die Hard style. And then it's like, oh shit. So then it's like, she's like, do I use my vampire powers to try to protect the kid? But then I might lose total control on a plane full of people, right? So... And then fill in the blanks from there. It's called Blood Red Sky. It's on Netflix. It just came out.
Interesting.
That one's on my watch list. I'm gonna probably watch that in the next week. Looks good.
Oh, nice. I love this. I love trailing where we watch somebody else's movie and then come back and report. That's kind of cool. So Dave maybe will come and say that. If I had to use our rating, it's. I'm kind of torn. It's between a Scream Now and a Scream Later. It's somewhere. It's like moving back and forth the needle like this, you know. So
we had a rating one between that.
But here's the thing: the reason I brought up hot dogs is if I wasn't craving hot dogs, I wouldn't watch it. I wanted to watch a vampire movie. It was available. If it hadn't been on Netflix, would I go then pay to rent it or see it in a movie theater? No, I would not have. It's on Netflix. That was an easy choice, right? So, yeah.
Wow.
Where are we at? Oh, okay. So, coming scares, I guess. creep. Oh, now I remember what I called it. Creepy attractions. That's what it is.
Creepy. John, what are the creepy attractions?
Yeah. Oh, let me. Okay. What I wrote down was we are going to do the only double feature that we're going to do this year because it's two films that are really one story. And maybe this will help, Adam, answer his question from earlier. For next week, we're going to watch Happy Death Day Part 1 and Part 2 because it's really one long movie.
Dude, can I say one thing? I've never seen either of these, and I've always wanted to watch them. So, hell yes. Yes, this is awesome. Nice. Yes. And I love the freaky director, so I'm excited, actually. Yes, this is great. Sorry.
I've seen the first one, not the second, so now this is my excuse to complete the story.
This is a good choice. Good choice.
Dude. Yeah. They Back to the Future the shit out of these movies.
I've never seen either, and I've always wanted to watch them. So,
Adam, have you seen either of these movies?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard of these movies.
Oh man!
So
okay.
Isn't this interesting? We've got two that's never seen, one that's seen Freaky Friday.
They're either on HBO Max or Shudder. One of them just recently loaded both parts. I'm not sure. We'll have to look into it.
It's probably HBO Max. I'll find out.
But again, I don't even know how I can explain it. This talking about these movies is like being in the situation with A Wolf of Snow Hollow, kind of with the details. So I'll try to back off because I was going to explain a little bit more, but maybe I should just not say anything. Yeah, I'll leave it. Happy Death Day. And Happy Death Day to You, I think, is the name of the second one.
Copy that. Okay. I'm excited.
But they tie in together. They're very tight-knit sequels. I'll say that.
They work really good. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying we have to watch both because you kind of want to. It makes sense to talk about them both together.
How do they relate to these? Now you gave me the excuse. Yeah.
Wolf of Snow Hollow. How does that relate?
That if I say the wrong thing, it'll give away elements of the movie.
Okay.
Oh shit.
I figured it was like Happy Birthday, but then
don't Johnny spoil it. Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you guys don't even know the general premise why they call it Happy Death Day. No idea.
I know it's Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day horror movie. That's all I know.
Okay.
But that's already too much right there.
Well, I mean, that was in the trailer.
I didn't even hear that. I'm tuning that out.
Okay,
I'm racing.
That was literally in the trailer. That's pretty much okay. But that's all I know.
Oh, I would not watch the trailers for these movies.
No, okay. I'm not. Gotcha. I don't watch the trailers.
I remember the first trailer being the one that was behind everything that year. Like it was just, you know, there's like two or three trailers that you see like millions of times throughout if you go to the movie semi regularly.
You remember Twilight?
Dude,
hell yeah, dude!
I should have already ended the. I should have ended the stream.
That trailer,
they just loaded
those sparkly vampires to Netflix, and now that's what everybody's talking about. And guess what? They're in the fucking top 10.
I know. I saw them.
All five of them. That's what's nuts.
Oh, no,
there's what five of them.
I don't know if I said this on the show, but I'm starting to feel like we don't know anything about movies at all. If fucking Twilight's in the top 10, we're screwed.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that don't respect Twilight.
Yeah, but you got to realize Netflix is McDonald's. I mean, it's just...
It is.
They have an adult menu.
Can we quote Dave on that? They always will have the salad,
but people are going to buy the fucking Big Macs. Like, that's just the truth.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Watching Twilight is like ordering the fish sandwich at McDonald's.
Oh my gosh, you guys are like, these are
that's unfair. Guys. I actually quotes for the like episode. Yeah.
You're right. That's it. I'm looking for one clickbait. That you just nailed it.
There it is. You just clicked it. There it is. Right there.
Yeah. Twilight. Watching Twilight on Netflix is like ordering the fish sandwich at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Amazing.
but sometimes it tastes good. That's the thing. It does taste good sometimes.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
You could put more sauce on it.
Make it just taste good.
You put that mayonnaise on it. It's good.
Are you team Jake?
No, I'm team Robert Patrick or Robert Patterson. Whatever.
Robert Patrick. I am team Robert Patrick. I am team T-1000 all the way.
T-1000, kill those vampires, dude.
That'd be amazing mashup.
Did I mess up his name? I'm sorry.
The real villains enter the movie.
I don't know this sparkly vampire kid. I'm the Terminator guy. I'm sorry.
You know what? No, that would actually be better, though.
It would be.
I was going to say, better movie. Right? If you put the T-1000 in any Twilight movie, you have a ticket. It may not be good, but I will go see
it. I would buy it. Yeah. He would chop the crap out of those vampires. I'm just saying. Yeah.